those of you who are enjoying spring break, I hope that you continue to enjoy it. Those who have not found the joy of spring break, I pray that that soon comes, that the joy of spring break will fill your heart, okay? So, speaking of joy, does anyone know what fruit of the Spirit we're talking about?
Joy!
Oh, thanks. Kind of gave you a little spoiler alert there. So, who knows the fruit of the Spirit? Yes. Do you know, I remember when I was teaching Sunday school way back when with the little kids, I said, guys, we're going to learn the fruit of the Spirit today. Does anyone know what the fruit of the Spirit is? And like the three-year-olds just rattled off. And I was like, oh, well, my sermon's done. I was so excited about it. I brought fake fruit, that, you know, the kind that used to sit on the tables. Is that still in? I'm not sure. That's not still. Yeah, our fruit on the table had a bite mark where Nessa bit at one time. Yeah, just letting you know. So joy. Who likes joy? Yeah. Who wants to experience joy in their life? Yeah, exactly. Does anyone want to take a shot at what the definition of joy is? Happiness. Yeah, happiness. To do without sadness. Yeah. So I looked up and had two different. One was a Google definition, and then one was a Webster one. First definition is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Second one is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So in the Bible, we see joy a lot. You know, joy and rejoicing, same thing. So anyone off the top of their head, can y'all name a Bible verse having to deal with joy or rejoicing? Count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Yeah. What did the angel say when they came for Jesus' announcement? Yeah, yes. Good tidings of great joy shall be to all people. Yeah. So joy, happiness, gentleness. Joy, happiness, and gladness. You know, these are things that we really pursue in American society. You know, Americans, we are all about, you know, the Chinese, all the Asians, the Chinese and everything. They are hardworking. They study their entire lives so they can go to college and study in college forever so they can be successful. In America, we're over here going to Disney World every other week, and you wish, yeah. We play video games all day. We are all about pleasure and happiness and being relaxed and enjoying the good fruits of life. Think about it on commercials on TV. What are they trying to sell you on to buy their product? Yeah, happiness, joy, trying to entice you. You know, where Jennifer, Mr. Jennifer, Mr. A. You know, I would say don't tell her, but she's going to edit this, so she's going to hear it anyway. So Mr. Andrew, Miss Jennifer, Miss Heather, they are all at Disney World right now. Why do you think they're at Disney? Yeah, because it makes them happy. We pursue happiness. Y'all are on spring break, and, you know, I thought that would make y'all happy, but apparently I'm wrong. But all the clubs people go to, parties, clothes that they buy, cars that we get, all the vacations that we go on. We have a lot of fun when we're on them, but when we get back, the joy kind of fades, doesn't it? Yeah. It's not a permanent happiness, and it's not a permanent joy. Yeah, you know, it's
you're eating it, that's just pure joy, and then when it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good food, when you eat a lot of it, it'll bite you. So, you know, I bought actually 2 years ago today is when I closed on my house, and I've been... Thank you. And, you know, I've been constantly, you know, I bought a house that was built in 1955. I mean, I've been doing some stuff. I've been buying furniture, remodeling, cutting down azaleas, all that kind of stuff. And every single time I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be so happy when I get this done. And then, you know what, 2 weeks later after that's done, I'm immediately trying to find something else that I think will make the house perfect. You know, I actually just bought a new bed. First time in my entire life that I've had a bed frame. I've always just had the mattress sitting on the frame. I have now have a headboard and a footboard. After 30 years, I have arrived. Yes. And you know what? I'm already thinking about something else that's going to make me happy. But you know what? Biblical joy is rooted in something more constant and something not as fading as our temporary joy that we have. So, okay. So why do emotions fade? Why do the emotions that we have, why does the joy that we get from going to Disney, why does all that stuff fade? Yeah, because it's not centered in a biblical or a joy based around hope, which the Bible is all centered around hope. Joy is either like celebrating hope success or looking forward to hope in the future. So Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Romans 12:12 says it beautifully, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." Rejoice in hope. And as I was saying just a few seconds ago, in the Bible we see rejoicing in two circumstances. When we see the fulfillment of God's promises or when we see God's promises in our future. So see it when people rejoice during the fulfillment of it. When Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, you know, they had been in slavery for 400 years. God delivered them out after the plagues. He led them through the Red Sea. And when they got to the other side and that Pharaoh's army was swallowed up, they were like, hallelujah. They were happy. They rejoiced. Another one, as I was saying earlier, when the wise men saw the star and knew that the Messiah was coming, they rejoiced. It said, the Bible says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they saw the fulfillment of one of God's promises. And then we have hope because we know that God's promises are coming. For instance, when Paul is in prison. So, you know, Paul wrote like four or five, I believe, of his letters in the New Testament. When he was in prison, and his famous one, Philippians, the book of joy, he wrote that when he was in prison, bound in chains. And y'all, these are old school. Like, I'm not sure how it is. We do not have photographic. You know, we have photos of black holes, but we do not have photos of Paul in his chains. So basically, even though Paul was in chains, Paul was in a nasty prison. No telling how dirty the prison was. There was probably human waste and stuff like that on the ground. I mean, bad food, no light, chained to a wall. But Paul still had hope and he still had joy that came from that situation. So I have here written, I had a couple little thoughts that I wrote on joy. I said that joy is a companion of hope. Joy is what we experience when we think of our hope. It's an ever-present reminder that there is so much to feel good about. It puts things in perspective. And then I made this little analogy. If you think of life as a jigsaw puzzle with 1,000 different pieces, joy shows us where the pieces belong, why they belong there, and how they all fit together. So it's kind of, joy helps you see the big picture. Because a lot of times when we look at our situations and they seem bad, you know, it's easy to get down on that and it's easy to focus on that. But when we see purpose to our pain, and whenever we see purpose in our life and how it means something and that there's an end game to it, then, yeah, you see what I did there, plug? In theaters, April 26th. So there is hope yet for the Avengers. That took a wild detour. Okay, back to the Bible. Here's another little section I want to take about, and this is something that kind of shocked me. Because, you know, we hear that happiness and joy are kind of two different things, and that joy is permanent and it stays with us, and happiness is one of those things that is kind of, it's fading. But you know what? I started trying to do, like, Bible research on that, and it was kind of talking about how, out of all the research I did, some people were like, yeah, joy is permanent and happiness is fleeting. But when you look at the Bible verses, they always, a lot of times, they put joy and happiness interchangeably. And I think a lot of times we try and make joy permanent and happiness a temporary thing because we want to keep joy, but we think that happiness is a very difficult thing to maintain always. But as Christians, we should be a people that are known for being joyful and happy. I mean, I know that not every situation in life is a great, happy situation, but we need to be people that we look like, that we know that there is hope and that there is joy in all our circumstances. We need to be happy. And, you know, I hear this all the time. People tell me that I am the happiest person that they've ever met and that I'm so full of joy.
Amazing.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it. My goal was not to get an ovation. But guys, I would like to let you know that I am not the world's happiest person. And despite belief, I actually experience all the emotions. In fact, I feel like I experienced all the emotions today. I mean, y'all, I'm just trying to walk through it. Because, you know, I was making mental notes and I was like, I'm going to try and make note of every emotion that I feel today. Because I was speaking on joy tonight and how we always need to be joyful. I felt a little bit of anxiety. I got my feelings hurt. And I really don't get my feelings hurt a lot. I was confused. I was frustrated. I was happy. I was hungry. That is an emotion in and of itself. And then we get here, and Miss Jennifer's not here. And everything possibly that can go wrong went wrong back there. So yeah, it's been a day full of emotions. But as I was saying earlier, we should be people that are filled with happiness, filled with joy. When people look at our lives, they should see that we know God. They should see God's fruitfulness. They should see the fruit of joy and happiness. And what God, I mean, when you think of what God has done for us, when you think of Him dying for us and that He is there for us, walks with us, He speaks with us and is with us constantly, that should at least put in perspective all the sorrows that we have in life. There's always something to feel good about. Psalms 16:11. I love the end of this. It says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Like the joy of God's presence and just knowing that we're going to live with Him forever. Now that gives you happiness and joy in your circumstances. So am I saying that you're always supposed to have joy and that you're never allowed to be sad? Oh, but yes. So let me explain. Yes, we are always supposed to have joy. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that God grows in our lives. Are we allowed to be sad? Yes. You know, we have emotions for a reason, and to deny being sad or to try and ignore that you're sad, that is not healthy. And I'm not asking you to do that. But you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we're supposed to be sad with people who are sad. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're supposed to feel with each other feels. You know, me and us talk about this sometimes at funerals. We all, you know, when someone is grieving or when someone's sad, a lot of times at funerals, when someone's sad, all we try and do is make them happy at any cost. Like, we try and not make them sad. But y'all, being sad is good. Mourning, you know, Jesus wept. I mean, being sad is a part of life. And as I was saying earlier, you know, Paul was in prison. He wrote the book of Philippians, a book of joy. So it's not that we're supposed to not be sad. It's just that we're supposed to have perspective in our sadness. And this is another thing I wrote down when I was thinking in the thunderstorms this past week. I was writing this during a bad thunderstorm. So this is how I think of it. Thunderstorms happen. I don't deny that they happen. In fact, I feel the rain. And I get woken up at night by the thunder. But I also remember that storms water my grass and that the sun will be back shortly. So it's not ignoring thunderstorms. It's just feeling the thunderstorms, feeling sadness, but knowing in the midst of that sadness that there is something to rejoice about and that we have a hope. And, you know, I thought that's one of those things that really sets Christians apart is in all the chaos that we have, we know that we have a hope. The Bible says that, you know, we don't mourn as those who have no hope. I mean, I use this a lot because it's very recent in my memory and very close to my heart. But when my grandmother passed away and I was sitting there watching her pass away in the bed, it was so wild. Like I was sad the whole day that she passed away, but I actually was sitting there right with her when I actually saw her take her last breath. And the peace of just knowing that she transitioned over into her hope, into her promise, that gave me such peace. And I was sad. I was definitely sad for losing my grandmother, but I had joy. I had perspective on that situation. And my grandmother just celebrated her 81st birthday. I can tell you her age because she's no longer here to kill me. And she just celebrated her first birthday in heaven. And y'all, she is full of joy. She has received her hope. So James says, James, great book of the Bible. I absolutely love James. Yes, James is a foot stepper. If you want hardcore step on your toes truth, James will give it to you. who has been bitten by James before? Yes. Yeah. So James says, and Miss Vanessa said, preached on this many times, count it all joy, my brother and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So whenever we have bad situations in our life, we can be upset about those situations. But we also need to realize that we have joy. God has equipped us with joy. It is an attitude that grows in our life. It gives us perspective in our life. And I think that's one of my main things that I want to put in. The world has a temporary joy, but we have a joy that can be in all circumstances, in all situations. And it's not something that we have to go and really, I mean, it's an attitude that we have to have, but it's not something that we have to work for years and years. It is something that when we know God, when we talk to God, when we spend time with God, it is a fruit that grows in our life. Because if you know God and you talk to God regularly, that will give you perspective. That will give you a hope that will last forever in all situations. It's strange to think that people do not have that hope when they go through certain situations in life. I don't understand how people, I can't imagine thinking in my mind that one of my loved ones passed away and like they're just gone. Like they exist no more. Like that's sad. Yeah. To just, yeah, but we have hope. We have hope. Yes. And we are joyful in that hope. You know, as my good friend Robin says, she quotes Psalm 35, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We know that joy is coming. We know that we have a hope and that is coming. And you know what? When we feel weak and when we feel hopeless in certain situations, because, you know, sometimes we just really do feel hopeless. Like, we lose that perspective. But when we just think of this verse and rest in it and, like, embrace it and take it in. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It keeps us strong. When we have hope and when we have that joy from either receiving our hope or looking forward to our hope, that is a very empowering thing. And I want y'all to embrace the attitude of joy and try and put it in your everyday life. Be happy, Christians. People need to look at us and see happiness. They need to see real people. They don't need to see fake, but they need to see the natural joy that God produces in our life from just knowing him and walking with him, talking with him, praying to him. Now, Jesus gives us joy. It's one of the fruits that we get from knowing the Holy Spirit. I just love that. It's like Miss Vanessa said a long time ago when she was preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit isn't something that a tree sits around and squeezes and like, I want to produce fruit, and they work for it. Trees naturally produce fruit if they're a certain type of tree. If you are an apple tree, you're going to produce apples. It's going to naturally happen. And when you walk with God, you're naturally going to grow things in your life. There's going to be fruit that comes. And joy is a piece of that. And so, y'all, take advantage of the fruit. You know, fruit is something that you can eat. Like, and other people can, I know this is weird to think about, but like, you grow fruit in your life and other people can eat off of that fruit. Other people can be inspired and see and reap the benefits of God in your life. And they're going to want the same thing that you have. So try and accept and embrace the attitude of joy in your life. Everyone can, if you would please stand. You know, a few months back, I'll leave you with this little story. It's going back to my grandmother. So, you know, I was maybe about a month or two after my grandmother passed away. I was on the way to my cousin's house. I was in the car by myself, and I was stuck on a traffic jam in I-20 weather. And it was cloudy, and I was just sitting there in the construction because I feel like I-20 is forever under construction at all time. And praise God, I love construction because it means new and improved is coming. So I was sitting there in traffic, and my sister sent a video. And it was, she said, y'all brace yourselves, this is going to make you cry. And I was like, what? And she sent it to a group message of me and my cousins. And it was a video that apparently my grandmother had recorded a couple months before she passed away. She recorded it on her laptop, and on her iPad, and no one knew it existed. She was just by herself, and I guess she decided to record it. And it was a song that was called Ride Out Your Storm. I remember sitting as a little kid. I remember sitting in the living room while she would practice it because she was going to sing it in church. And I would be in the living room. I mean, I'd be in the kitchen eating breakfast, and she'd be in a recliner rocking, and she'd be singing the song, practicing it to the track. And the lyrics of the song, which she sang in a video, is called Ride Out Your Storm. And the lyrics are, ride out your storm. God's right there with you. You may not feel him, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your morning is coming. So hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. So this is about, this was a couple months before she passed. She was in excruciating pain. Went over and saw her a lot. There were days where she'd be in so much pain she could barely move. She said she would just sit around and cry because she was in so much physical pain. But she had a hope and a joy and a confidence in God where even in the midst of this, she sang the song, and she went and sang a second verse, but she went and replaced the words to make it first person. So then she started singing, I'll ride out my storm because God's right here with me. I may not feel him, but I'm not alone. I'm hurting now, but my morning is coming. So I'll hold on to Jesus and I'll ride out my storm. And you know, guys, she did ride out her storm up until, you know, she passed away on a Friday evening. That Wednesday, I went to her doctor's appointment with her where they were like, you know, you're dying. I mean, it's going to be very quick. I mean, it's going to be soon. And I remember her, when the doctor walked out, y'all, she started speaking in tongues, shouting in the doctor's office. And, you know, even as sad and as difficult as knowing that you are about to leave your loved ones behind, she had joy. God had produced fruit in her life that she was reaping. She had joy in her life. And that is what joy is. It's not the absence of sorrow, it's perspective of sorrow. It's God's goodness. It's God's hope in your life. And don't have a fake joy where you just smile and aren't sad, and you think that nothing ever wrong is going to happen, but have that joy that God gives you. And no matter what situation that you have, you know that you can hold on to Jesus and that you can ride out any storm that you have. So please take one of my grandma's last encores and live by that, and have a life filled with joy, a life filled with perspective, and a life filled with the hope and goodness of God, because it is a great benefit of being a Christian, is having the joy, having that fruit of God. So tonight, I just want you to come down to the altars and pray. And I don't necessarily want for you to ask God to give you joy, because that is something that is growing in our life. I want you to see the joy and experience the joy that is already around you, and to see the joy and the perspective in your circumstances. So come down here, guys, and pray and receive the joy that is growing in your life, because God is good and He has given us joy.